Do you think you have no time? Well, think again. Are you running on empty? Well, we're here to help. Here are some tips to help you expand your time from Felice and Meredith.
This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Well, hi and welcome to all of you who are joining us today. And today I have Meredith Curtis on the line with me, who is co-hosting our Lunch with Felice and Meredith. Welcome, Meredith.
Thanks for having me, Felice. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, we are going to talk about time, and I'm excited you're here because you're one of the busiest people I know, and I know you think I'm one of the busiest people you know. So I thought, by way of introduction to maybe someone who's tuning in for the first time ever and doesn't know Meredith Curtis and they have no idea who Felice Gerwitz is, that we would take each other and just describe to our audience some of the things that are on our plate, you know, in our lives. So I'm going to start with you, Meredith, and I'll give you a few minutes to think about, because I spring stuff on Meredith all the time, by the way, that we don't plan for. But she's one of the most creative people that I know, and we have a lot in common that we can think on our feet. Maybe it's a grace God gave us to have large families. I don't know, Meredith. So Meredith didn't know I was going to ask her to do that. But Meredith is a pastor's wife, so that's one of the major overcompassing things that is in her life, and she's got an amazing husband, Mike. And so, he pastors a church, so that's one of the things that Meredith does, as well as a homeschool mom. And she's been homeschooling for many years, and she has one high schooler left that she's homeschooling. And on top of that, she is in charge of the music ministry with her church, which requires, obviously, practicing and all of that. And she has a full house. She has one daughter that was married this year. But all the other children are still at home. They are adults and have jobs. And so she runs a very busy household, and I'm not sure, I lose count. How many people are in your home at this time, Meredith?
At this time, there's only seven, just our family plus Aisha, and then numerous people spend the night at various times.
Right, all right, right. Only seven, you know, for those of you who caught that. I mean, there's only seven in my immediate family plus my dad here, but so we're at the same number, but at any given time there can be more. And you know, she has an open door policy, plus you have the youth ministry that meets on Fridays still, right? Friday evening.
Yes,
at your home.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so that is very busy with, you know, tons of kids in and out on that evening, and young adults. So that's just a little bit of what she's doing, not to mention that she is an author and publisher, and her books are featured in the Media Angels catalog, which I don't sell anyone else's products at all, and I've had a very firm policy of that until I met Meredith. So Meredith has her own link on the Media Angels website. So if you go to mediaangels.com and you click on the books link, you will see Powerline Productions, and Meredith's books will be listed there. We're adding more and more books all the time because of our busy schedules. We're adding them slowly as Meredith sends them to me. So so look there, and you'll find some great products. So that's in a nutshell. Did I leave anything out, Meredith?
Wednesday night, life group at my house, and homeschool co-op on Tuesdays at my house. So, yes.
Okay. Well, I think you're busier than I am, Meredith. I really do. So, okay, you're shot at what I do.
And here is Felice, and Felice is absolutely amazing. She's very committed to her family, to her church. She takes care of her dad. Her dad lives with her, and she has three children left. But Felice also has grandchildren that she is very involved with, and she has a son that is still at home, an older son, but her older daughter is married with how many children?
She has six. Yes, and the grandkids do come over at least one time a week to do crafts or something with Grandma.
Yes, they do. And she's always calling me and saying, yeah, I'm here. I have the grandchildren today. And so, and she is a writer. She's a publisher. She's a speaker. And she also is a mentor. And a lot of times she invests in mentoring other people. And, of course, if you're listening to the radio, she started the Ultimate Radio Network after several years of doing homeschool expos that are excellent and mommy jammy nights. So Felice stays very, very active ministering to her family and then ministering to homeschooling families. She's written a wonderful program on the Bible called Proverbs with Parenting, a lot of science unit studies, and my very favorite is the murder mystery series that she wrote with her daughter. So she is just an amazing woman and very busy.
You're sweetie, and it's homeschooling with Proverbs, but it is for homeschoolers, so that is the series. Yeah, I forget about that. It's a monthly series that comes to your email. So I forget that that's out there. So thanks for mentioning that, Meredith. But you know what? It's our number ones, and we're going to each give you five things that helps us. And I'm going to read both of our number ones and number twos at the same time because they're very similar. So, you know, I had prayers in the morning for the Lord, and He is the author of time. And it hit me a couple of weeks ago when I was really under a lot of pressure. Like one of the things we were trying to plan our one-year anniversary of this network, as well as changing a lot of the functionality on our website because we outgrew some of it with the growth of the downloads and that kind of thing. And so there was so much going on, and the Lord in prayer, Meredith, gave me, well, I'm the author of time, and you have as much time as you want. You just need to ask me. And so He was able to not only give me peace about that, and I did a couple of podcasts on Vintage Homeschool Moms about it, and that's why I wanted to do this podcast with you about it, because I know you're really good at managing your time. And that the Lord was able to expand my time and allow me to get things done. And here's the kicker, and that is in the correct order of priority, because a lot of times I would do the easiest thing first, but that might not be the most important one. So, and your first was to commit each day to God in quiet time, and it was so similar to mine. That, you know, I wanted you to share with us, you know, how the Lord reveals to you daily in quiet time how to manage your day.
Well, I think it's the act of, you know, the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. And I think that's also time. And so by setting aside time each day to read the Word, to pray, I think that is our way of taking Jesus and exalting Him first, and then He is going to manage our day. And so a lot of times in my time with the Lord, I'll say, Lord, I lift up this day to You. I pray that, you know, You would be glorified. And then a lot of times I'll hold up all the things that I know are in the day ahead, and then all the things I don't know are coming that He does. And so I think after committing my day to the Lord, and a lot of times whatever I read in the scripture, that is going to matter later in the day in what's going on. And I so many times experience a moment where I start to be overwhelmed, and then something comes to my mind that I read that morning. So I think that, you know, just putting the Lord first, and that way we know everything has come through His hands, and we can trust Him with how the day unfolds.
Oh, that's beautiful, Meredith, and that is so true, because, you know, sometimes things come up that were not in our plans, and that's where your number two is something I struggle with, and I was really happy that you had that in there. So my number two was to plan ahead. I do a 1 year for school, a 1 month, and a 1 week, and then I do a daily list, and I prioritize that list. And so, like, right now, because there's so much going on, you know, with my dad's has some medical issues, and I have to go, you know, do some eye things that, you know, I was hoping for a clean bill of health, and, you know, so I'm going to another eye specialist that was not on my list to go to. And so when that happens, I have difficulty, but Meredith's number two is also to plan and schedule ahead, but she uses buffer zones. So I cannot wait to hear what those buffer zones are, because, you know, like I said, I'm walking around now with my month calendar at a glance, because there are so many things happening this month. And if I go, let's say, going to the doctor with my dad this afternoon, I'm taking my calendar, which I have on my phone, but there's just something about having it on paper that I can look at if we need to schedule something and get that in the schedule, because behind the scenes I record for, you know, different events that we have coming up, and so those are also on here, and I can see what's coming up. So, you know, buffers, Meredith, talk to me about that.
Well, it can be as simple as buffers in your daily schedule. For instance, I live 5 minutes away from the church, and I go to practice every Saturday morning, worship practice, and I don't give myself 5 minutes to get there. I give myself actually a half an hour. So I aim to leave within the, you know, the beginning of that half an hour and to get there early. And that way, if something comes up and I end up getting delayed or I'm waiting for one of my children, I am very, very seldom ever late. You know, occasionally I'm right there, like 2 minutes early, not 15, but I don't get there late because I have that buffer in there. And then buffering with school would be that, you know, I give myself a week in the spring and a week in the fall that is just for catch up, like in case we get behind, in case something happens. And that way, you know, if we're way ahead, then we just end up with Christmas break early. And, you know, the same thing with ending the school year early. But a lot of times things occur that you can't plan for. Buffer zones around your time, in around, like, if you're working on a project, giving yourself more time than you think you'll need for that project, which I tend to be someone who, even by giving myself extra time, I always underestimate how long a writing project will take me. And, you know, I'm very idealistic, and then I'm, you know, definitely my bubble is burst when, you know, I spend all day long and I write a chapter. And Mike is working on a book right now, and, you know, he spent his whole day, and he's like, I only got one chapter done. And I said, one chapter is a lot for a whole day,
right. But
welcome to the world of writing. And so I think buffer zones are very important when you're planning, so that you won't be late, so that you won't be overwhelmed. And things like, I know, okay, for Saturdays I have worship practice, and I have Saturday celebration instead of Sunday. And so I leave that day empty. Like, I don't set, you know, I won't meet with someone for a counseling situation. I won't, you know, I won't do anything on Saturday. I just set that day apart because I need to have a place, a time in my life where I know no one is going to, you know, need me or I have to have some free time planned in my schedule. So I think that is kind of, does that help understanding?
Yes, it does. It does. And so Friday is, it would be, I guess, I didn't have a name for it, but Friday would be my buffer day, because Fridays, I don't put anything on the schedule that could possibly, you know, mess things up, as I put it.
Right.
That's the day that the kids are taking their tests, or I'm helping them, you know, if they have some issues with something. You know, I'm available to help them anytime they need help, but I'm working with them specifically on, you know, 2 to 3 subjects per day, and then the rest they do on their own. And so, like, for their math, they have a video that they watch, but they still may need me to help them with a problem that's difficult and things like that. So while I'm on call, you know, and that is difficult to stop and start, I have high schoolers now. When they were little, if I left the room, there would be chaos, you know, and then
right.
I would get really frustrated. And I finally realized, you know, I used to be a teacher, so I would never have thought about leaving my classroom and walking out the door to take a phone call or to talk to the teacher next door or to get a drink of water. And yet I was expecting my children to continue on with whatever seat work they were doing, or, you know, copying something from the board. You know, let's say I left 2 sentences for them to copy, and I would walk downstairs to get a drink of water, and I would come up in there, you know, doing whatever, not doing what they're supposed to do. And being frustrated. And I had to remind myself, this is, you know, a classroom situation. And it took years of getting them to understand that when you're done with your work, you're done. So whether it is at 3 in the afternoon or at noon, and I know we've had this discussion with parents who are frustrated that their kids don't think anything of taking all day to finish math. And part of that can be overcome with some scheduling. And I think that would be a really good topic for another show, Meredith, because I know both of us have little tricks up our sleeves on how we were able to nip that in the bud. You know, for me, it came a little bit later. But it was amazing that, you know, for each child, it's different. For one child, it meant you could not sharpen your pencil. And he hated to have a dull pencil. Like, he wanted the electric pencil sharpener on his desk. So I would say, you don't get the pencil sharpener. You know, it's over here, and you're going to have to finish this paper first. And that was amazing, because that helped for another child that was just being able to have a drink of water. You know, he, again, another one that wanted to have it right there on his desk. And, you know, they had to finish a certain amount to get that. You know, it sounds cruel, but sometimes there was not lunch if they weren't getting a certain amount done. Again, it has to be something that is a priority to your child. It's not, you don't do that for someone who doesn't care if they're eating lunch or not. But God will give you those tools when you know, that situation comes up. But, you know, it's just like you have to ask, right, Meredith, that he's right there for us, but we really have to ask him.
I agree.
Well, good.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then number three, decide, my number three is, once I have all this plan and everything else and I'm looking at my list of to-dos, then, and I'm not a list person, and I have had to become a list person because as I get older, I just can't do everything in my head like I used to. And I talk about that in another podcast. I won't go into why I didn't like lists, but so number three for me was to decide who else could do the job but me, and to delegate, and not everything that someone else could do, you know, meant I gave it to that person to do. Like, for example, sorting through laundry or, you know, making a meal. There might be a time where, yes, somebody else could do it, but I wanted to do it. There's only one person who can do this podcast. That's me. You know, but my kids can help with editing. I was sharing with Meredith that when I privately record, we only are live on the first Monday of the month with Vintage Homeschool Moms, or unless I have a special guest. But all the rest of the times I podcast privately, and I have a lot more editing on my private my private shows than I do on the live shows, and that's something that my kids can do. I have to actually do the broadcast, and they're better at editing than I am. They're a little bit more patient, where I'll say, well, that's good enough. I'm not a perfectionist. And they could do that. So that took a long time before I realized I do not have to do everything. Again, for those of you that are mommies with little ones, you know that there are only certain things that you know your little ones can do. But my daughter is amazing because she lets her little ones, sort silverware, and she's not a perfectionist either. And it's okay if it's not in the right place, and then later on she might go through and have one of the other kids put it where it needs to go. I mean, it's in the right drawer, but like all the forks are not with all the forks. It might kind of get dumped in there. But you know, like that would have driven me crazy, even though I'm not a perfectionist, Meredith. You know, like I would have wanted that done correctly. But she has a lot more leeway because her kids are, I think the oldest is going to be 9 in January, so 8 and down to an infant that's 2 months. So she allows her children to help with a lot more, and she supervises. She doesn't, that's her key. Her key is when they clean up, she stands there. She doesn't walk out of the room, and they get things done because she'll point things out. And if I stood there, my inclination is to help them. And so she would say to me, no, this is how they learn how to do it, when they realize that I'm going to stand here as long as it takes to pick up. She's done that here at my house. Like, we have a place where there's blocks and things like that. And she might stand there and kind of kick them in a pile and say, okay, you know, this is the 3-year-old, which I'm always amazed that her 3-year-old and even her, well, he's 4 now, but the 2 and the 4-year-old are as helpful as they are. But she's trained them to be.
Right.
And they're really
right.
happy to help. And there's not any, you know, candy reward or anything. They're just helping because they know they have to. So my number 3 is delegate. And the one that is really similar to mine is your number 4, always say yes to real help. So share with us, what is real help?
Well, I think a lot of times, for instance, Aisha lives with us, and she'll be home sometimes, and I'll be doing laundry, and she'll see me busy with something, and she'll say, hey, can I put the next load in for you? I see the laundry has stopped. The machine has stopped, and I'll say, yes, go ahead and do that. Whereas, you know, maybe 5 years ago, I would have said, oh, no, I'll get it. And I always did the dishes every night because I do enjoy washing dishes, and it was peaceful. But I got to a place where I was having some problems with my lower back, so I finally had to delegate. So everyone in the family now has a night where they do the dishes. And but a lot of times, you know, when I'm doing something, someone will come over and they'll say, hey, can I help? You know, run the vacuum or clean up. And I always say yes, because we're in a situation in my house where we're cleaning to get ready for people to come over 4 days a week. And that is absolutely overwhelming. And so I just realized I'm not capable. So some days if I'm very overwhelmed, I'll say, Lord, please send help. But, you know, a lot of the young adults, they walk in the house and they're maybe an hour early for a meeting, or sometimes, you know, like Stephen Policaster, he'll be working and then he'll come over and be waiting 2 hours until the meeting. And so he'll just ask me, what can I do? And I'll say, well, you can run the vacuum. You can put all this stuff in Shine's room. And so things like that, I just realized, for people won't offer unless they really mean it. And if they do offer and they don't mean it in my house, they'll learn quickly to not offer again.
And I love it because you run a pretty tight ship, you know, and that in getting help, I had to realize was not an admission of failure. And that's kind of how I felt, and the same thing with my list, because if I wrote it on a list and it didn't get done, I felt like I failed that day. So I had to realize that that isn't true at all, and I needed to, you know, be accepting of the help. Sometimes it's not exactly how you want it done, but that's okay because it needs to get done. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this brief commercial for Media Angels, and then we're going to share a couple of more things that will help you, and these are different, Meredith, so I'm excited to share these with our listeners. So we'll be right back.
My name is Felice Gerwitz, and I want to introduce you to my publishing company, Media Angels. I have a heart for homeschool families, and since 1994, I have poured my efforts into creating curriculum to support teaching science, especially from a creationist worldview to the homeschool community. My curriculum was selected by Kathy Duffy in her 101 Top Homeschool Picks. Another Labor of Love is a three-book novel series specifically for homeschoolers with a creation focus, the Truth Seekers Mystery Series that I co-authored with my daughter Christina. Media Angels represents uncompromising quality, not only with books, but with an online homeschool convention and this ultimate homeschool radio network with amazing show hosts. Along with books, Media Angels has produced an American history and an American government video series, as well as a family Bible study, Homeschooling with Proverbs. It has been my pleasure to mentor countless homeschool families and missionaries worldwide. I also enjoy mentoring aspiring authors with one-on-one coaching and the Information in a Nutshell series. If we haven't met, please reach out. I'd love to help you on your homeschooling journey, or if you have a book, help you getting that into print. I can be found on social media and look forward to meeting you. You can reach me at mediaangels.com. Thanks so much, and hope to meet you soon.
Well, as I reminded you at the beginning of this broadcast, Powerline Productions is also a sponsor of this show, and Meredith Curtis can be found at MeredithCurtis.com, and Meredith also hosts the Finish Well Conference, which is an in-person conference in the Orlando area. And welcome back. My name is Felice Gerwitz with Vintage Homeschool Moms, and this is Lunch with Meredith and Felice, and on the line with me is Meredith Curtis. And Meredith, why don't you share about the Finish Well Conference? I know that you have a website. It's finishwellcon.com, and there'll be information there. We don't want to date this audio with, you know, things normally that are specific to a special region or time. So just know if you're listening to this, you know, even years later, that this conference has taken place. And just know that. But I wanted Meredith to share a little bit about what Finish Well is.
Finish Well is a conference for homeschooling families with children in middle school and high school. And there's something really for everyone in the whole family. We even have sessions for children. And the 2014 conference is going to be on what does a Christian homeschooling family look like? And we're going to talk about all kinds of things related to that and really look forward to it. The younger kids, the children's sessions are going to be about that. There's sessions for the teens. We always kick off with Airsoft and a mom's heart to heart. And so we just love to help homeschooling families move forward in their journey of homeschooling. We think it's a grand adventure and that God has a plan and a purpose for every family. And so we look forward to inspiring, equipping, and refreshing those homeschooling families.
Oh, wonderful. That is so great. And I've been blessed to be part of that conference every year. And I have to tell you that that is one of the few conferences that when I leave, I am not drained. I am infilled. It's as much as I give in any of the sessions or in talking to people. I feel like I am filled up 100% more. One year, I think you even sent me off with coffee, and we even have had a chance to go to lunch before I left, and I spent the night in your house, or you put me up at a hotel. So, I mean, it has been just a blessing through the years to be able to be a part of it. So it is one of the best conferences ever. And people come from all over the place. You've had people from coming, you know, even from out of the country. to join us there. So it is amazing, amazing time of refreshment and encouragement. So I highly recommend it. Well, we are getting down to our last points, and our first three were very close, and the next three are interesting because I do your number three often, even though everything says not to do this, but your number three is, or actually it's going to be number four because I flipped your numbers around here, is do two or three things at one time. So that's called multitasking.
Yes.
And I do that. And before I let you get started on that, a funny story. My daughter graduated from college and went to work for a really good friend of ours who owned several, I think he at one point he had 10 or 12 clothing businesses, you know, just these old T-shirts and stuff like that. Up and down Florida, and she, after her first week working there, came home and very frustrated, and she goes, I'll tell you what, you know, Mr. Scanlon, who's a good friend, so I can use his name, does not multitask. So, like, he'd be on the phone, and she would be showing him a folder, and he couldn't answer her, whereas I would be on the phone, and she would show me a folder, and I'd be able to listen to my conversation and tell her what to do with it. Or she'd scribble a note, and I could scribble an answer back and still keep on the conversation. So she told me that must be a mom gene that he didn't have. So I thought that was really funny. She goes, he just can't multitask.
Women do multitask better than most men. Most men, I find, tend to be they would rather focus on just one thing at a time. And women, we have to multitask because we always have little ones grabbing our attention, and especially if we homeschool. So I think it's kind of an innate thing for us moms.
Yeah. I agree. And then my number four was sort of along those lines, but preparing food ahead. So I always cook for more than one meal. Yesterday I made a roast, and I kept meaning to call my in-laws, and so I knew that they go out to lunch with friends, and it was, you know, at noon that I thought about it. And we normally try to get together within one day during the weekend. And so I ended up calling her about 3 o'clock to invite her for dinner when I knew I wanted to have them over. So as they were leaving, I said, I'm so glad you guys are flexible because I knew you were coming for dinner. I just didn't get to call you as soon as I wanted to, and she laughed, and so I had enough of this roast, Meredith, not only to have a second meal for us, but also to send them an entire meal with, you know, mashed potatoes and gravy, and, you know, corn and rolls. So
awesome.
You know, I had enough, and, you know, they're delighted. And she always tells me, you don't need to do this, and I said, no, it makes me happy, you know, to do this because it just gives me a sense of satisfaction that, you know, I heated up the whole oven and, you know, peeled potatoes, but we had enough for two meals. So
right.
That's what I do for everything. I make enough that either I can freeze half of it or use it for leftovers, and I do the same thing with dessert.
That is really good, and I think that I do that a lot too, or put something in a crock pot in the morning. By doing two things at once, a lot of times, like for instance, if I'm just doing some reformatting of a book, I will use that time to listen to worship songs that I need to check out and see if we want to use them for the church, or maybe to listen to an audio teaching, or to even just play my set list so I'm kind of hearing it as I'm going through things. If I'm talking, if I'm cooking, if I'm preparing food and I need to talk to my daughters about something or my son, I'll say, hey, come on in the kitchen and help me. And what was that you were talking about? And we'll use that time to work together and to talk together. A lot of times, if I'm doing things that are, I try to do a mindless task with the task that involves of actually engaging. Now, there are things that you can't do at the same time, and obviously, like homeschooling, you want to give your children full attention. But my children are at an age where I try to be very available, but they don't need me every second. So I
right.
can work on things that I can disengage from the minute they need me. So by doing that, I think it enables you to not waste moments. Also, if I'm waiting, I always bring something to do, or if I don't have anything with me, I just begin to pray for people. And I use that as some extra prayer time. So I don't, you know, I try to make the most of all the time that I have. And I think that kind of goes to my last point where I use unexpected time to get things done. And I think, like, praying and interceding is just as important as, you know, working on a book or homeschooling my children, because if not, more important. And so if I'm in line and all of a sudden I realize, oh, my goodness, I'm going to be here 20 minutes, I don't get all upset. I think, okay, God knew that. So I have 20 minutes now, and I just begin praying for all my children. I begin praying for people in my church. Or maybe the Lord would want me to share the gospel with the person who is behind me waiting in line too. So
right.
things like that. But a lot of times, you know, say I have a counseling appointment and someone calls me and they say, hey, you know, I'm not going to make it. This happened. I'll say, oh, okay. And then I just know, okay, I have an hour now. And then my first thought is, okay, what can I do that would be the most productive thing in this hour? And that's the way my mind, I've trained my mind to work. And so sometimes I'm able to, you know, say, oh, okay, I can clean out this drawer. I didn't think I would have time to do that till next month, but I don't have time to clean out a whole room, but I have time to clean out a drawer, or maybe have time to review the economics book for what I'm teaching at co-op. And so I really, I just really have a sense in my life now. I was not like this, you know, I'm not like this naturally, but I have learned by walking with God to have a sense that God is the Lord of my time. And
mm-hmm.
so if I have an interruption, He's the Lord of that. But if I have, you know, suddenly free time, He's the Lord of that too. So I want to make the most of it. And I think that gives me a real sense of peace. And sometimes I've said to the Lord, Lord, look at my schedule. This is an overwhelming week. Lord, if you think I can handle this, please give me the grace and energy. But if you don't think I can handle this, please rearrange my schedule. And I have a lot of times when I have overbooked and I just or say, Lord, forgive me, He'll end up having things cancel. I try to never, ever cancel anything because I want my yes to be yes and my no to be no and to be faithful. But God will take care of me if I put Him first.
I love that. That is so great. And my last one is to do something daily with cleaning, because while we don't have the guests that you have in your home, I found that leaving cleaning to one day was just overwhelming. This house has too many rooms. I know you suffer from the same thing that we do. So we clean daily, whether it is, you know, sweeping of a floor or dusting a particular part of a house. And I wash clothes daily. So whether it's my clothes or my kids are washing their clothes, many of my children have learned that if you want your socks to return to your room, then you need to do your own laundry. So they learn that very quickly. But while we have towels and, you know, things from our swimming pool, especially in the summer months, you know, they reuse towels from the pool and things like that. But and we have separate towels because otherwise that was overwhelming. But, you know, we keep certain things that we do together. So, you know, when they were littler and we were folding clothes, I would let them fold clothes while I was reading something to them, or one of the kids that could read would read and, you know, I'd help fold clothes and then we'd all get up and put our stuff away. So, you know, now our clothes are not really washed together, you know, as much anymore. So people take care of that.
We don't have a set schedule for using the one washing machine and one dryer that we have, which sometimes is a backup, you know, where it may take a couple of days to get through some laundry. But I found that leaving that also, you know, at the end, but like today I washed white clothes. So I, you know, I put the call out, who has white clothes that needs, you know, because some, you know, just whites need to be washed together. And then some of the other stuff is a little bit more gray area. But cleaning daily helped a lot, and then we do some of the major cleaning, like mopping the floors and things like that on a set day. And, you know, my kids have certain jobs that they really like better than others, so they, you know, tend to gravitate toward those jobs on those days that are sometimes are better for them. I know for me, you know, the dusting would be better if it was on another day than a day that works for them. But then they have, you know, sports schedules and things like that, which normally in the fall we have a break. It's usually spring, baseball and softball. But this year it's kind of overlapping, not as terrible as in the spring, but the spring it's every afternoon they have practice, both kids that are playing, and then Nicholas, who's graduated, he helps coach Mike's team, which I think is so cute. He's not Aww. Listening to this audio for me to say, isn't that sweet? And then this is the grace of God. The new coach, which they've had almost a new coach every year except for the 1 year, turned out to be a very young man. You know, he's not married and very committed to the Lord. And I wasn't sure that they would continue to want Nicholas to coach, and they just have hit it off. So I'm just happy that he's a very committed to the Lord young man, and you know, that he wants Nicholas to continue to help him, and you know, he's been very gracious about that. But he also is very committed to the program, and he wanted the kids out practicing in the fall, which that's why I said it's kind of unusual that they do that in the fall. Is normally their break in Florida, because we have year-round summer, right? Although it's been nice and cool, right. So we're enjoying the weather. Well, Meredith, we have a quick question here before we end the session, which has been so great, and I thank you so much, because it's been really fun for me to go over some of these things in my head and to continue on with this these podcasts on time. And there are a couple more. For those of you listening, if you want to hear more specifics, I broke it down on another podcast under Vintage Homeschool Moms. So the question is, how do you decide what you should do or what to let go? I can't find downtime just for me. And that is probably hits to the core of every homeschool mom, young, old, you know, no matter where you are in your walk. We're never old, because we still think we're young in our minds. Bodies don't quite go along with that. But you know, it's so true, Meredith, because we feel that we shouldn't, you know, we should put everybody else first. And sometimes we do need to take care of ourselves. So how do you help this mom with that question?
Well, it all depends on your children's age. When children are older, you can just schedule in time for yourself and just make sure that you take it. When children are little, I'm going to be honest with you, the only way to get time really by yourself is to have someone stay with your children and leave. Yeah. And I had a friend that she and I would – We gave each other 3 hours every other week. So 1 week I had both children for 3 hours, or I think it was ending up 4, because then we had new babies. And then the next week we switched. So 1 week was my turn, 1 week was her turn. And that was our 3 hours a week that we got alone. And sometimes dads can take the kids to the playground, or, you know, something like that. But the bottom line is, if you are in the same building as your little ones, you will not have time for yourself. So that is something you're definitely going to have to work harder at. Once the children are older, you can say, hey, I'm going to my room, this is my time alone, or I'm going to go walk around the block, or, you know, I'm going to be gone for a couple of hours. But I think that in any case, you as a mom, you have to schedule it, because if you're not making it clear to the whole family, this is my mom time, then, you know, you're going to be interrupted. You're going to be needed. So you have to be very firm about it. If you're going to spend an hour in your bedroom and it's just going to be you, then you can't open the door. And you have to have a little sign, you know, from 1 to 2, don't knock. So that's just the honest truth. You can, the bottom line is that everybody feels they need you and that their problem is pressing. So I don't know of another way to do it than to schedule it.
That's true, because it's not that you could get up a little bit earlier, like is something I do right now. I can get up earlier than my kids because I have teenagers who, you know, would rather not get up super early. So that is my quiet time. But when they're little, I don't think I could ever get up earlier than they were up because, you know, being up in the night or whatever, I was just more tired. And so I love your idea of trading me off with someone, or even one of my friends used to have her husband take, one evening where, I don't even know if it was like, it was every week, but, you know, maybe two times per month. And I remember seeing her at the bookstore and she was sitting there with, you know, a muffin and coffee by herself with books that she was thinking about purchasing, you know, and I was surprised to see her there. And she said, yes, this is my getaway. And then she said, and I said, well, you know, how's your muffin or whatever? And she goes, good. She goes, but, and I think there were two there. And she goes, just don't think I'm being piggy because I'm taking one home to my husband. You know, so like she got caught with her two muffins and she was going to get him coffee on the way out. But you know, so it was really nice that she had a little bit of time that she could just spend, you know, and you know, some of the stuff with school books for the kids that she was looking through. But, you know, it just to have that time, and we don't think about doing it. So I'm happy we're covering it here. And, you know, this mom posted in the chat room that at this point she doesn't really have someone she could switch with, but that her husband does try to help out. And, you know, even if sometimes it just takes that, you know, just time to breathe. And Meredith, I smiled when you were talking about going out for a walk, because Meredith and I have talked about some, you know, very important things, or, you know, very heavy topics. And Meredith would send me a text and say, I'm going to go take a walk and I'll call you when I get back. And I thought, what is she exercising? Or I didn't get it at first. So you explained to me, you weren't putting your walk before me in our talk. You pray when you walk. So that's what Meredith means when she says she's taking a walk. It means that she's going to be with the Lord, and that's, you know, she's got a really nice neighborhood there where, you know, she can walk around the block, and it's a pretty big block, and clear her head and get with God. And so, you know, for each of us, it's something different, and, you know, it's important to us. So find that, you know, whether it's going to the library or just getting out in the car. My dad sometimes will say, I need some fresh air. And that might mean that he gets in his car and he just, you know, will drive nowhere, but just to get out of the house a little bit, and or go to the grocery store and walk up and down the aisles, or, you know, the bigger wholesale store that's much bigger where he gets his exercise, because then he can walk behind a shopping cart. And just sometimes you need that. You need just to clear your head. And, you know, if you can't get out to do that, you know, I'm not a big fan of television, you know, or videos, or putting your kids in front of the video, but sometimes for your own sanity's sake, it's okay. And if that buys you a little bit of time to go into your bedroom and just be with the Lord, or, you know, just have that, whatever, a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, you know, something that you're treating yourself to that's a little bit out of the ordinary. So I just love it. We have to, you know, tell homeschool moms it's okay to spoil yourself.
Yes.
You know, the rest of the world's like, you deserve it. Of course you should have time off, and you need a vacation, and you need your new car, you need a manicure, you need to get your hair done, and, you know, here we're saying, Mom, it's okay, you know. So opposite, isn't it, Meredith? I just love this world, the homeschool world. It's just a comforting place that there are such good people that love their children, love the Lord, love their husbands, are committed to marriage and their families, and that you and I have the opportunity, the pleasure, and the amazing grace and blessings from God to be able to, you know, mentor some of the younger moms and those who tune in to listen who are vintage moms as well.
Amen.
All right, Meredith. Well, we both have busy days ahead, so I just thank you again for joining me and co-hosting. And again, Meredith has wonderful books that you'll want to check out that are available for you for immediate download on the Media Angels shopping cart under Powerline Productions. So check those out. And Meredith, God bless you. And happy to, you know, call you friend, and I'll be chatting with you soon. God bless.
God bless you too, Felice. I love
you.
Bye-bye.
I love you. Okay, bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.